message on the witness, September 19, 1963.
Now, yesterday, we were studying, and I gave you a basic picture in the Word of God about witnessing, or the witness. And I showed you a little bit about how that God works, or did work by witness, even in the Old Testament church or the Jewish church. And we had a little statue that went like this. I'll just put the bare skeleton there because we haven't got time to go back over it. We told you yesterday how that God had given to the high priest a breastplate of linen that was doubled, praise God, and was fastened by golden chains to the shoulder of the ephod, and was fastened with two more golden chains to the ankle, so that it was secured over his breastplate. And how that breastplate bore the stones of the 12 tribes of Israel. As a picture, they were to be under subjection to these two mysterious stones that God put inside, called Urim and Thummim. Those are the Hebrew pronunciations. Some folk pronounce them with English pronunciations of Urim and Thummim, but actually they're Hebrew words, Urim and Thummim. Man didn't create these stones. God put them there. There was some kind of living stones that as the high priest stood before the Ark of the Covenant, this side of the curtain of the veil, as he talked with God, God didn't leave any room for the devil to come and whisper or deceive him, or he didn't leave any room for the high priest to imagine that he heard the voice of God, or that he received the mind of God. When God's mind was ascertained and God spoke, these two stones flashed forth and lit up the stones, a breastplate of the high priest, witnessing and confirming that God's mind had found them. And I gave you the stature of truth. I showed you how that Urim and Thummim was God's provision. And we studied different scriptures, and we saw that that was God's provision. And then the next, we saw God warning, praise God. We saw God warning about it. When God gives us something, beloved, He doesn't leave it up to our discretion, or up to us in one sense. He, when He puts truth and light before us and makes provision, it's up to us to use it and to utilize it. If we don't, we'll find God warning us about it. And then we saw God's command, praise God. We saw God's command when they returned back from and Ezra rebuilt the temple, and Nehemiah rebuilt the walls, restored gates, and we saw God's command then that they were not to eat of the holy things, beloved, until there stood up a priest with Urim and Thummim. It was God's command that they went along together. Now, I'm going to tell you something, saints. That's why it's serious. Those of you that know, we were showing you this was a type, a picture of the witness of the Holy Ghost that God's given to the New Testament church. This they had in the Old Testament was a picture, a type of what we have today in the Holy Ghost. And you won't stay around here very long. You won't sit in a service. I don't think I've ever preached in my life of what the Holy Ghost don't bear witness. Sometimes while I'm preaching, I speak something that needs a confirmation. The Holy Ghost will flash forth and leap forth just like He did, God did through the Urim and Thummim. And yet you'd be proud and dumb that Pentecost is. And you hear people say, well, I've searched through the Word of God, can't find a thing about the witness. Amen. Well, it's there. It's full of it from Genesis to Revelation. And again, it's hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent. Now, I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Well, I'm going to die. God helped me to talk in English. Listen, God had given them a holy thing to eat. He'd also given the Urim and Thummim. But, beloved, they weren't going to eat of those holy things without walking by the Urim and Thummim. And just like you sitting here, beloved, you have access to the witness of the Holy Ghost and never think that God's going to let you eat of the secret things and you can boss your life and run your life like you want to run it, because you're going to walk by the witness of God's Spirit and you won't eat holy things. That's right. Amen. One for God bossing this setup right here, I wouldn't be taking off at noon. I'd be just driving on full speed ahead. But the Holy Ghost can witness for me to take some rest at noon. And I really have to crucify on the brakes and stop a while. But God does that for my benefit. I guess I'd kill myself if I bossed. I'm sure of that. So it was God's command. And then we saw God's judgment. Praise God. And we took an example there, went to the Word. And in Saul's life, and I showed you, beloved, how that Saul despised the Urim and the Thummim. He would never inquire of God and so on. When he did, God took it away from him and caused the priest to escape with the ephod that had the Urim and Thummim over to David's side. And from that day forth, God gave it unto David. And we saw how David continually walked by the Urim and Thummim. And then we saw God's judgment on Saul. Later on, he would have desired to have had an answer from God. When he would have desired, he was in a strait, beloved, and he needed an answer. God was silent. God's judgment was upon him. And I've told you, this judgment that God can visit a human soul with is to give you the silent treatment. When you don't know which way to go, and it's like brass to you, beloved. Oh, my, what a judgment. I can stand anything in the world better than I can stand Jesus Christ being silent to me. The biggest difference I've ever had in my life is when he's turned the deaf ear to me and whipped me and judged me. I hate it because he didn't let me get by. And that's what we studied yesterday for about a couple of hours. And we'll go today here and tomorrow and other days and get in as much as we can. I don't know how much we'll be able to gather, but we'll glean enough that you'll get a real vision, beloved, that this business of going by witness is not some fantastic table that somebody has gendered up over in the northwest corner somewhere, but a living reality in the Word of God. And I've told you that God has permitted us to get by with the three witnesses. There's just much to this subject, I don't know where to go. But when God works, he never works without a threefold witness. Because, beloved, there's a sense in which God can separate himself, certain Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's another sense in which God is one. And wherever you find the Son, you find the Father and the Holy Ghost by omnipresent power. Wherever you find the Holy Ghost in person, you find the Son and the Father and omnipresent power. So there's a sense in which he can separate himself, and there's another sense in which he never separates himself. Wonderful. Let me give you just a few examples in the Word of God here in the Old Testament. I don't know how many of them I'll take. We'll take some of them. And then I don't know if I'll get into it today or tomorrow. Musically. All right. Now, let's go to the Word of God just for a few examples. And I don't know if I'll get into the five witnesses today or just where I'll get, but I'll find God. And if I do, I promise you we'll have a good time. Let's go to the 15th chapter of Genesis. And we see the first picture of a threefold witness. This is precious. I get thrilled. This was another section of God's Word that bothered me for many years, and I couldn't explain it. Why God gave Abraham 6 years? Now let's begin here in the 15th chapter. And we had a good time during some time. I can't remember, but I can remember here. We studied about Abraham. Did we ever finish that? Never did. I never finished the covenant. I gave him the stature in Abraham's life. And under your name stature, you find he had a stature of revelation of the names of the Lord as his first appearance. He had a stature of separation. That's the second big point there. Then he had a stature of altars that he built. Brother, this is no accident or coincidence. Nobody but God could set the word of it like that. Then there was a stature of the living covenant that he had with God. That was his great appearance. That's the key to Abraham's life. All right. Let's go to 15th chapter. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what be seeing? I go childless, And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. In other words, this servant is going to be heir to all of my things. And yet, God, you promised me a seed. Now, what am I going to do? What are you going to do, God, seeing that I don't have a child? And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Now, if you remember, the Lord pointed him once to the stars, as we see here, as a picture of the seed that represented his spiritual seed. We're children of Abraham spiritually, the word said so. And then again, he pointed him to the sands of it and said, So shall thy seed be. That was going to be a picture of his natural seed. So God used the earthy and the heavenly. Picture the two classes of seed that Abraham was going to have, a natural and spiritual. Now, let's read on. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? What's the sign? God, give me a sign. Give me a witness that I'm going to inherit the land. I know you said, but how shall I really know it? Give me something. Give me a witness that I'll know it. Now let's read, and let's go down here again what Abraham experienced and what God told him to do. Verse 9, And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a pigeon. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now let's read them. God told him, you take these animals. Now what was that a picture of, saints? Sacrifice. Sure, you know some of you because we studied this before. A picture of the cross. Amen. Now God said, take these little animals and sacrifice them. And he took him unto him all these, and he divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Now these will picture the devil's birds. Beloved, a lot of times we go to offer a sacrifice to God. And if you're not careful, the devil will devour the sacrifice before God receives it and accepts it. Saying to you, you've got to keep the devil's birds off of the sacrifice. Now then, and he said, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo and horror, a great darkness fell upon him. A picture of crucifixion and of death as he went there to the cross, so to speak, and began to enter into the reality, as it were, of the sacrifices. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Or thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and be buried in a dull age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Now look at it, saints. Here was the sacrifice that was of the sun. Amen. And then here came a smoking furnace, praise God, a type of the Holy Ghost, praise God. A smoking furnace, a type of the Spirit of God. And then came the burning of fire through that, a type of the Shekinah glory from the Father. Now God took these three things and put them together, and Abraham had a witness. Hallelujah to God, that he was going to have a seed. He said, God, how shall I know that I'm going to inherit the land. And the Lord said, take the sacrifice. Then when he prepared the sacrifice, God sent a smoking furnace through it. Hallelujah. Then he sent a burning lamp. And so there you have type of the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the Father. Do you see that, saints? God gave a witness that day that he was going to inherit the land. Praise God. Isn't he a good God, beloved? And I'll tell you, when he speaks to you, he'll give you a witness, amen, that will help you to stand true and firm in the Lord and doubt not what he said, to you. And so there's one of God giving a witness, a threefold a witness. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, there are lots of places we could go. Let's, where shall I go next? Let's go over to that. I just can go there right now as anywhere else. There's some other, lots of other places. This is new thing. There's so many aspects to it, saints, that it's just fantastic. But the best part about it, it's real. Let's go to the prophet Zechariah and let's learn another picture there. You've studied with it before, but we'll review it. And it's one thing about it. The more you review it, the more you'll know about it. Praise God. Go to Zechariah, the fourth chapter. Fourth chapter of Zechariah. Amen. How wonderful he's up. See another witness. Praise God. Let's see, I need a strong arm here real quick. Now, I hate to be lazy, but if you used your right arm as much as I did and had it hurt as much as I did, you'd appreciate just any little effort here to raise this board for me. Praise God. You don't realize how much I have to humble myself to have somebody raise the board for me. Hallelujah. I'm used to waiting on my staff. Hallelujah. So sometimes we have to humble ourselves and get somebody else to raise. Praise God. All right, Zechariah 4. Now again, let's draw down what we read. Now we're going to read it. Before we read it in unison together, let's read the whole fourth chapter in unison. Now again, God gave Zerubbabel a witness here that God's going to do the work. Now remember, Zechariah was written in the process of when the temple the wall was being rebuilt here. And if you remember the story from the book of Nehemiah and Ezra, what encountered, beloved, it's the same. The devil hasn't changed any. Whenever God's people start building programs, amen, spiritually, I tell you, or otherwise, well, you find the devil trying to hinder if you're in the will of God. So if you start to do something and you're not getting any opposition from the devil, I don't have any doubt that you're out of the will of God. So now don't think it's strange when God bears witness for you to do something and all hell breaks loose against you. If you were in the will of God, the devil wouldn't bother you one iota. Amen. But when these people come back from Babylon, hallelujah, in the will of God and started building, while everything in the world rose up against them. And I'll guarantee you one thing. If the Spirit of God ever witnesses for you to come to Jeffersonville, Indiana, all hell will break loose against you. I warn you in advance. Brother Paul's hollering glory as loud as he can over the tape room. Hallelujah. Well, it's true. And so, beloved, such was the case here. And God gave the most tremendous witness here to Zerubbabel about building the temple. Now let's get it in unison and then we'll have the background of it. Then I'll begin to ask you questions about what you read. So you better listen. And I'm going to let you build this witness. And you better build it right, too. I won't have it. mumble at me. I tell saints when they read in unison, you read like you're the only one in the room as far as lifting up your voice. But on the other hand, listen for your brother and sister so you stay together. If there's anything that's music in the ears of God, it's when God's people are in unison reading the Word of God together. Amen. I'll start you out and then I'll rest my voice and let you work. An angel that talked with me came again and waked me.
And I will, 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 and I
in that love, I just felt it piling up and down like goose pimples, hallelujah, while you was reading. And be surprised how many people say these two olive trees are those two witnesses over there in Revelation. Amen. Now let's build what we read, and let's see if we can answer, and I'll draw down now what you tell me to put up here, providing you tell me to put the right thing up here. Now, what was the first thing that you read there? What's the first thing I'm going to draw? Oh, you got it right. Okay, let's put then a lovely candlestick here. Okay, like this is a candlestick, and we're going to put the candlestick. Praise the name of the Lord. So we'll spell it out confused. Amen. Now, there's a candlestick. Now, what else am I going to put there? A bowl. Amen. On the top of it. Now, there was a huge bowl on top of it here. Praise the name of the Lord. All right. Now, what else? Where am I going to go now? What am I going to add out? Pardon? Oh, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Oh, pipe. Who said pipe? John, did you get that? You sure it's right? All right. I want to see if you knew you were. All right, we got to put seven pipes from these bowls here. There's one, and there's two, and there's three, and here's four, and here's five, and here's six, and here's seven. Now, seven golden pipes. Okay. Now, what am I going to put up there? Lamps. All right. See, you only put the lamps down there without any pipes. How was those lamps going to get some oil without any pipes? Praise God. All right, here comes, man. Praise God. Now then, just so you don't get confused, spell it out. Here are our pipes, right here now, and then here are our lamps here. Now that's plain, isn't it, huh? Not a thing confusing about that, is it, huh? Here's the candlestick picture of. Huh? Are you sure? Yeah. See, when I start testing your revelation, you're weak. Amen, it's Jesus. Who was this candlestick a picture of? Jesus. Who's the light of the world? Jesus. Who's the Lord of the earth? Jesus. All right. Now then, let's draw some more. Now, what did you read about there, huh? Two olive trees? All right. Well, where were they? One on each side. All right. Then let's draw down two lovely olive trees here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, here was the olive tree. And then there was another lovely olive tree over here. Praise God. Now, here was the olive tree. There was two of them, one on the right and one on the left. Now, what else did you find out? Huh? Now, what else am I going to put in the picture next? Oh, they had pipes to the bowl. Out of where, son? Well, now read your Bible. Now, I got to find out where to put them. Can't put them wrong. I got to find out where to put these pipes. Who said? Ethel said two olive branches. Did you read that, huh? Huh? Read it. Don't read the scripture. They follow you. What verse are you in? Verse 12. All right, read it. How did they empty the golden oil out of themselves? There was a golden pit on their branches that went over to the bowl. Hallelujah to God. My saints, I can have a whole pit out in Qatar. Praise God. When I get to looking at what God's given us in His Word, why, it's enough to make you jump down and have a fit and even know why you're having a fit. Just not have one because I get worked up, but having a fit out of revelation and knowledge inside. All right, now here was another branch here, and here was the golden pipe going over here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, who do you reckon these olive trees were a picture of? Who? All right, Father and the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Here you've got three and one and three. Praise God. Now here we got them divided. Praise God. I'm going to show you. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I want you to notice this. They emptied the oil. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so here was the Spirit. Here was the candlestick. Showing, beloved, it's just perfect anything in the world. Here they're separated, and yet God emptied into Jesus all that he had. So here's the all the Spirit. Here's the fire of his glory way up here. Praise the name of the Lord. So the Mashandaya. See what I mean? The fire and the oil couldn't be revealed except it was revealed to Castaka. And the Mashandaya, God gave Zerubbabel a threefold witness here because he was really against it. And the enemy was rising up something tremendous. And God said, listen, Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power. You'll not be able to conjure up enough power and enough might in the natural to get this job done. It don't depend on the natural power of Israel, but he said, well, it depends on golden oil coming into the candlestick that's going to be piped down to you by my Spirit. Hallelujah. You've laid the foundation, hallelujah, to God, and you put on the capstone, you put on the headstone, you'll piece that which begun. And but it's not by might or by power this afternoon that we can go up to the top of the statue, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord, hallelujah, that's emptied himself into Jesus Christ and emptied in all in the fire that you need. Hallelujah, to get up into the head ramp. And Jesus has laid the foundation. He's the author and he's the finisher. Now God gave Zerubbabel a witness. He saw it. What I've got on the board, as Zerubbabel saw it before him, a threefold witness that he will finish the temple. Is that clear to you, saints? You see that? Isn't that wonderful? Not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now you pray, tell me, I'm my son. He said, what are the two olive trees? He tells them as plain as anything. These are the two anointed ones, the one that has oil, that stands by the Lord of the whole earth. The Father and the Holy Ghost is backing up Jesus Christ and pouring all their substance into him. Hallelujah. And stand by him. This has nothing to do with the two olive, the two witnesses in the book of Revelation at all. Nowhere near King. Praise God. This was a threefold witness that God gave to Zerubbabel to assure him he was finished building the temple. Isn't that wonderful? And I've given us a threefold witness, hallelujah, that he's able to finish that which he's begun inside us. I got a witness on it this afternoon. Amen. Never will forget when God revealed that to me. Now, that don't take much revelation to get that, does it? But how many have stumbled over that part of the Word of God until you've heard us teach it or you haven't yet got it? Let me see your hands. Huh? Have you? Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? There it is. So whichever way you go, you got a threefold witness. If you want to go across this way, you got three of them. If you want up this way, you got three and one. Hallelujah. So quit that fighting over oneness and Trinity. Shame on it. Just depends on which way you're looking. If you're standing looking this way, brother, I see three. If I get here and look up this way, I see one. Oh, hallelujah. Well, that's the biggest old boogaboo the devil or God's people fight over whether God's three or his one. Brother, he's both. It just depends on where you're looking and where you're standing. Now, I'll tell you, you can believe he's one until you're blue in the face. That won't bring you a bit near Jesus Christ. You can believe he's three until you're pink in the face. That won't bring you a bit near Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. Let's go to the book of Daniel. Now, I shouldn't have to teach on this. All I ought to have to do is review from you convention students. Yes, sir. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Praise God. Wonderful Lord, we love you. Saints, didn't you enjoy that book of Daniel? All right. Huh? Still feasting. Now, let's look at a threefold witness of God's dealing. I'm going to show you God doesn't do anything but work by a threefold witness. Now, when we begin to study, and I won't go into that this afternoon, the subject tonight hinges right along this line, and I'm going to show you about the threefold witness of God tonight, or at least I'll be getting in that direction. It ties in with what we're studying this afternoon, but I'll not go into that today, naturally, because I'm going to tonight. But it doesn't matter, saints, whether God is dealing, listen, with his people, saints, or whether he's dealing with a heathen nation, or whether he's dealing with a heathen king. It doesn't matter who God's dealing with. He was by threefold ways. Now, you'll see that Egypt, beloved, had a full witness. Amen. And you'll see here God gave Nebuchadnezzar a threefold witness. Now, I told you people about it in convention. Let's review that God gave unto Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had no excuse for not honoring God because he had a threefold witness about it. What was the first witness that God gave him? The word witness. That's right. Let's go to the second chapter of Daniel. You remember that Daniel in verse 46 and 47. Now, you remember that Nebuchadnezzar had this dream and he forgot about it. And we had lots of fun all during the convention and nobody got answered. The question was this, for some of you new ones that's not here, if you want to fill your spiritual ears a little bit, and don't the rest of you saints tell them, you keep your mouth shut because remember, you didn't know it either. So I offered him a little prize during the convention that anybody tell me why that God was obligated to give unto that wicked heathen king this revelation. Now remember, he was a wicked heathen king and got a terrific dream or revelation. So in place in the Word where the full stature of Gentile powers displayed was a tremendous revelation. And so we had that little question of foot all during convention. And I got all kinds of ideas, all kinds of answers. We had all kinds of denominations here during convention on that point. And it was funny. When some of them would catch me to themselves, the way, you know, they'd, you know, try to, you know, wheedle me on this corner and on that corner. We had a lot of fun. And nobody got it. But we showed you why God was obligated. And you have to know the principle of God. God works on principles and he never violates his principles, saints. That's the truth. Anyway, he'd had this revelation of this image. He had a dream about it. God showed it to him. And then he forgot it. And you remember how that he called all of his soothsayers and magicians, and they couldn't give it to him. And he was about to kill all of them. And then Daniel and his companions went to God in prayer and seeking God, and God revealed the word to Daniel, and Daniel went back and gave it to the king. Well, this was the first word witness. God gave Nebuchadnezzar a word witness through Daniel. When Daniel gave him the word of God, he turned around and gave him and restored this dream as vision to him in verse 46. And you'll see Nebuchadnezzar recognized it. He recognized this word witness. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secret sin. Thou couldst reveal this secret. And so, beloved, Nebuchadnezzar had a word witness. God gave the word to Daniel, and he had a word witness of who God Almighty was, that he was a God of gods, a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets. And now then go over to the third chapter. And what was the next witness that Nebuchadnezzar got a witness of? Huh? The Spirit or the power of God. And I'm showing you, beloved, how it works out here. Why, it's just, I don't care where you go, you find God operating. There's a word witness. Amen. And that's when God gets enough of the living word inside of you that the word leap out. Jesus said the words that I speak are spirit and are truth. Amen. Their spirit, or rather, their spirit and their life. So now Nebuchadnezzar had a spirit witness or a power witness. Praise the name of the Lord about who that God was. Now you remember the story. He went on and built himself an image. Spiritual pride came up. And beloved, you can tell among the Shaddai, when spiritual pride begins to come up in you, you want people to begin to look to you instead of somebody else. You want to look to you instead of the Lord. And God gave me a command a long time ago. It's in my spiritual diary. I could take you to the place and the time when he gave it. And he spoke to me and he said, daughter, be strong to rejoice in me when people turn from you to me. You get that? That's like your children in the natural. When they're little, they look to mama for everything. And those preschool days with little ones are the most precious at times. If you have little ones, enjoy them, because they won't be gone until they'll be gone from you. So enjoy them while you can. And I remember the first time that my first little one went off to school. It was time for her to go to school. I felt a pain in my heart and a pain in my heart because I realized, you know something, she's going to be turning from me. From then on, she'd never be back like she was before. I suppose every mother feels that, you know, because you've had them all to yourself. And, beloved, that's why it's your spiritual children. That's why that ministers do not want their children to grow up in God, because they don't want them to turn for them. They want them to keep them down in that baby stage, looking and depending upon their lives. And that while they pass from that phase, while that you lose something from that phase, I have a better relationship and a better fellowship and a closer unity with my daughters now that they're grown up physically and growing in the Lord than I could have ever had I kept them babies. Don't you see that? But it's that pride, let's say, when people begin to grow up and they're not leaning on you quite as much spiritually. They're not after your counts quite as much spiritually, that you feel jealousy begin to come up. You see what I mean? You'd like to thrust them down and hold them down. You'd like to hold the truth down in somebody else. Don't only hold it, don't dare hold it down in yourself, and don't hold it down in somebody else. And realize that while they're turning from you in one way, as they keep growing and as you keep growing, well, then in another way you'll be brought together in greater unity and greater loyalty and greater love and greater everything else. You see? But beloved, our hearts are deceitful. And so God said to me, be strong, rejoice when people turn from you to me. And so that's one lesson a time ago. And know something? The more you fall in love with Jesus, beloved, the gladder you are when people grow up to him. Because in the first place, you're glad to get them off of your back. And in the next place, you've learned that you're brought back together again up here in a higher realm, a greater realm, see, closer in God. And that you can share things with them that you couldn't share while they was down here. And wonderful. But Nebuchadnezzar's pride came up, so he built a great big image for everybody to bow down to. And so you remember the story, he commanded everybody to bow down, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down. And let's look at the command here in 15. And it says now, third chapter, now if ye be read at what time, hear the sound of the cart, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kind of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast into the midst of the burning fire furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Who is that God that's got enough power? He knew that God had the word, but he didn't know that God had power also. You see it? Now he said, where is that God? And who is that God that's got enough power? But if you don't fall and worship, brother, to the fire furnace, you're going to go. And then let's see whether your God's got power or not. But this is sermon right here. You could really turn a revival upside down with this. After you preach to them a while, after God's power has been manifested in their midst, show them they done got the word witness, and show them they done got the spirit witness power. Hallelujah to God. And then just dare them to defy it unless they want the third witness, which is judgment. All right, let's look at it. So you know the story. And they kept them, they heated up the furnace exceeding hot, and so that the ones that even put them in the furnace were slain, and so on. And let's start in verse 23. And these three in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down bound in the midst of the burning fire furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the mid of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form is like the Son of God. He cast three men bound into the midst of the fire. And answered and said, true, O king. And he say, answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walk in the midst of the fire, and they had no hurt, and the form is like the Son of God. Brother, he got a revelation of the Son of God, and he got a revelation of the power of God. He got a witness of the power of God that was able to set his people free in the midst of the burning fire furnace, and he got a revelation of the power of God that was able to keep those three children in the midst of the fire furnace. And we had a little statue when we were sitting there. I showed you how that the three children went into the furnace. Brother, if you want to be kept in the fire, you better go into the fire with the right attitude. And they went in, and they said to now, you king, you get this straight concerning worship. Just get it straight. Now, our God's able to deliver us. But if he don't choose to deliver us, bless God, we'll go to the fire, and we'll still not bow down. But they went in with the right attitude. They went in surrendered unto death, and they overcome by the blood of the Lord, and they love not their lives unto death. If you go into something and not love your life unto death, be willing to die. That's what God wants for the sake of the truth. Brother, he'll give you a witness of his power right in the midst of the furnace. And I showed you how they acted after they got in the furnace, too. Oh, that was a good lesson we had. All right, he got a witness. By this time, he knew about the Word of God. By this time, he knew about the Spirit of God, the power of God. Now, he got a third witness, praise God, of God's judgment. If you won't listen to the second witness, beloved, if you won't listen to God when he begins to bear witness to you, beloved, he'll give you the third witness that you find out about. Now, what was the third witness? What, Ephraim? All right, that's right. Judgment. The next witness, that, beloved, was the fire witness, or the works witness. I want to call it amen. Now, I promise that you find these things working right today. There's a word witness. How you know it is? Because I've got it. How you know there's a spirit witness? Because I see it working among God's people. You get this by gift. You get the word by status. Amen. And then there's a works witness. Amen. Jesus said, the word that I do, they bear witness. Amen. And the fire witness has to do with beginning. Praise God. And I've shown people that, beloved, when we come before the Holy Ghost and God speaks, listen, by the word witness, and he speaks by the spirit witness, and if we will allow those two to come together in our spiritual loins and hold them and believe them, you'll find out behind you, the thigh speaks of the loins. The loins speaks of the part of beginning, of bringing forth life. And if you'll hear God and accept his word witness and his spirit witness, then he'll begin to take out, to reach into the invisible, because that's what faith does, and begin to beget it and bring it into visibility. The works of the thing come forth. Amen. And when the works of the thing is born, that's the that's a visible witness of the Word and the Spirit. Am I making myself clear with you? I'm sitting in the building today because the Word witness and the Spirit witness bore witness about it. And we held it in our spiritual arms and interceded and travailed. And God reached into the invisible. Amen. And then brought it into the visible. And here's the works of the thing. Did it come out of the live thorn or the thigh or the loins of it? You understand what I'm trying to say to you? It's not baby talk we're talking about today. Beloved, I could go down my life and done the work of the Lord that he's committed into our hands. Over and over and over, we see the thing. Now let's go to the fourth chapter. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he still didn't hear the word witness. He still didn't hear the spirit witness. He did not humble himself, beloved. He did not humble himself. Praise God. Because, and God used that on Belshazzar. Even though he'd watched all this, God didn't have to repeat it. Let me tell you something. Personally, in the life of his son, because his son watched God operate this thing in the life of his father. See, And God said to Belshazzar, even though you knewest all this, you see what I mean, what God did for your father and the witness your father had, you still didn't humble your heart. And because of that, God reached out and snatched the king away from Belshazzar and gave it unto Darius the Mede that very night. Listen. Fourth chapter. Now, you know the story here. God gave Nebuchadnezzar another dream, a tree vision. And he saw a picture of this tree on how it grew and flourished here into a mighty tree. And its branches were like that of, you might say, of the vine. It had such long branches, and all the animals came under, even breast, and all the nations. And God likened Nebuchadnezzar here, praising of the Lord. And so, but because that when he was lifted up in his exaltation and in his success and his duty as a kingdom and a king, beloved, he lifted himself up and would not humble himself unto God, and would not receive the word witness that came from God, would not receive the spirit witness that came from God to bow down and to serve the living God, but continued on with his idolatry. Then God gave him the third witness, the work witness. God gave him the works. Amen. And so God gave him a vision, and he saw this tree, a hewed down to a stump. God just taking it all away. And so yet it was bound about with thine, cut down to a stump, cut down to the ground. And God warned him. And you remember how that, let's start in verse 25. Daniel begins to give him the revelation of it. Of this tree vision. He said that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, see to eat grass and oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times, that is 7 years, shall pass over thee, till thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump at roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. God prophesied this judgment witness to him, beloved. He wouldn't accept it. In verse, let's read on. And all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? After God already warning him, and while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell forth from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And then you know the story. He was driven out like an animal, like an ox eating grass. And his fingernails grew like bird claws, beloved. And his reason went from him. He was crazy, wandering out there like a wild animal for 7 years until he learned, until the day came that he could look up and recognize that God ruled. And so, brother, he got a threefold witness of God Almighty. Amen. How many of you understand that, saints? Huh? It's tremendous, tremendous. Hallelujah. Well, let's see where else I could go in the Word of God. There's lots of places I could go. That's true, honey. When God put the light before you, amen. And we've seen this happen. We've seen this happen. Now, saints, I don't want to be a smart or funny. Smart. But God told me, and if I withhold it, then God will whip me. And so be careful what you do with your judgment and your reason on the side of you. You better think nothing or say nothing, only what God tells you to say. And take a fire witness. Hallelujah to God. And kept on, and I said, brother, do you know why the Spirit's moving on you like that? Well, he didn't know, but more than a Billy Goat, he just knew the Spirit moved on like. And I said, God giving you, you know, a precious gift, and the Spirit of God calls it a high witness, and it's a loin witness. Now I won't tell you all about that today. I'll just give you a little blueprint here, little study about it. And another brother, how many of you remember old Brother Ryan? He's dead. How many of you remember old Brother Ryan? Put your hands up. Well, just a few of us old timers. He had been a circus performer, and he rode horses and showed off for the world. And after he became a Christian, he said that the Lord made him grow long hair just to humble him, you know, because he was so such a prick. And the Bible says long hair for a man is a shame. And so sometimes when God wants to put shame on you, he might make you do that. I wouldn't say God didn't tell that old boy to wear long hair. I believe he did, if you all know what happened about it. And so he wore a long flowing white beard and wore long hair. Brother Ryan, never will forget him. I can hear those words that the Spirit would speak out of him while he got fire witness. And he'd be a test. I didn't know what it was then. Back when I knew him, I didn't know what fire witness was. I knew he had some kind of odd demonstration of the Spirit of God. Praise God. Everybody looked on him as a peculiar, oddball, you know, and so on. But that old man had power of God. And I remember he used to be, you'd see a lot in Brother Branham's meetings when Brother Branham was having big meetings, healing meetings around in this area. And so he still has them, but in his tabernacle. But he used to have auditoriums and different meetings around. And you'd see Brother Ryan, never will forget, when he'd get to dancing in the Spirit, I don't ever saw anybody. He glided like he was on roller skates. I never saw anything like it. I mean, I glided across that floor, and that's the truth. I watched him. And so everybody thought he was just sort of a, you know, crazy ball, that's all. I knew he had power, and he had a special gift for praying for headaches. If you had a headache, if you believed him at all, he'd lay hands on you, pray for him, and your headache would be gone. And but he'd get up to testify about the Lord. He would say, a hitchhiking missionary, hallelujah. He hitchhiked from one end of this country to the other. And of course, when people would get him in the car, you know, driving down the highway, he had it mugged. He had a congregation, couldn't get away. Praise God. And so he poured into him about Jesus. I mean, that was his call, that's true. And he had lots of interesting experiences. And I appreciate the old man. But when he'd be testifying, and he'd be telling about his experiences, and God wanted a witness, a word witness of what he was doing there, the Spirit would hit in his side, and he'd give a jerk up like that. And he always said these words, Hikam Ashandai, never forget it, hallelujah. And so it was funny, never forget that. I mean, you'd see Brother Ryan, and he did a flash. And he'd be testifying along about what God, you know, done about somebody got saved as he's riding down the highway, or somebody got healed or something, and God wanted to give a work witness, because that's what he's doing, bearing witness to his works. You see, well, he'd come up like that, and he'd say, Hikam Ashandai, just got a flash. Well, anybody could see he just got a flash. Amen. But I didn't know what it was. But, beloved, I'll tell you, I've learned millions of things in the Word and in the Spirit that I didn't know what it was until I went on with God. And God explained in the Word. Praise God. Now, there is a fire witness. Let's study it. Let's look to the Word. If there is such a thing, then it's got to be in the Word of God. Outside of those brothers, they're the only two that I've ever seen, witness publicly. God has given me that witness, but it never operates publicly. That time I say it never has, God will probably start working me over. Hallelujah. So I don't care. I'm off of it. If he wanted to operate, it hadn't been operating. Now, let's go to the Word of God. Let's see what the five. Let's just talk about the thigh. Now, there's a statue about the thigh, and the witness comes in on it. The first thing about it is a witness. We're going to study about... Now, the thigh means, of course, it's another word for loin. Amen. It's another word for loin. Now, and we'll see that the thigh was used for a witness. Praise God. There is a works witness. Praise God. And sometimes, saints... God will give you the spirit witness, he'll give you the word witness, and he'll give you the thigh witness, even in advance. Now let's see that just come to me. That's not just only that case, I tell you lots of other things. That's why, beloved, you have a boldness and authority. We've been before God, and you've had the spirit witness, the word witness, and the thigh witness. Why? Well, the devil's hell couldn't shake you out of that. Praise God. Brother, it's real going on for God. I'm the Messiah! Yes, it is. Now, let's look about the witness here. How did God use it? I wondered why they put their hand under their thigh, huh? Well, let's study about it. That God put that there for nothing. That was an Old Testament demonstration and a picture, a shadow type of this Holy Ghost new dispensation of a thigh witness. When God's power gets on your loins and your thighs, praise God, and gives you a witness. Amen. Now, let's go to Genesis, the 24th chapter. in verse 21. And we see stature of a witness here. Amen. About the sign. That's probably about as far as we'll get this morning on the sign. Sometime we'll finish it. Who knows where or when. But let's take this little stature here. Maybe I better put up further so everybody can see it. All right. This little stature here for the witness, the thy witness, let's consider it. In Genesis, the 24th chapter, and verse 21. Is that what I want? No, verse 2. Let's start in the first verse. Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites on whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now Abraham said, we find a witness for a wife from the blood relatives. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. A bride, beloved, from the blood relatives. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus is going to take a bride from the blood relatives. If you haven't been to the blood, there's no use you talking about, I'm the Messiah, the bride. And for a bride from the blood relatives. Now let's look at this witness. Beloved, it was a witness. Amen. And so Eliezer the servant came and put his hand on the law here of Abraham on his thigh as a witness. Hallelujah to God. Beloved, that he'll not take a bride from the land of the Canaanites, but he'll go back yonder to the blood relatives, and he'll find a Rebecca. Hallelujah. And he'll begin to minister to her. Hallelujah to God. And for about Isaac, and take her some presents from Isaac, and he's going to build up such a love in her heart to desire. She's going to be willing to forsake her relatives, and forsake her kindred, and to forsake her land, and to forsake all that she's got. Hallelujah. To go to that one she's heard about. Praise God. That's a blood relative. We've got a blood relative this morning, a kinsman redeemer. Hallelujah. And he's made us a blood relative. Hallelujah. That he might give us a thigh witness, a thigh covenant, beloved, that we can come all the way up in stature and for him and to be a bride of his. I'm the Messiah. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God sent the Holy Ghost, just like Abraham. It's a type there. Abraham the father sending the Holy Ghost, Eliezer, type of the Holy Ghost, over to a blood relative, a beloved, to tell her about Isaac over there and how lovely he was and how wonderful. And oh, when her parents said, oh, just stay a little while longer. No, Rebecca said, I'll go, and I'll go right now. Praise God, Oh, that's a beautiful story. We studied some of it, not near all of it. There are many aspects of truth there. But, beloved, it was a thigh witness that started the work in. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's so much here. I don't know where to start or where to start with. Beloved, there's a witness, a thigh witness. How did Rebecca get married to Isaac? Because there was a thigh witness. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think I'll finish. What is the thigh witness? It's that working power. Who is it that Jesus said did works in him? Hallelujah to God. Beloved, when we by feet, let the Spirit and the Word come together in us, and let us reach up and take a hold of the loin power, the creating power, the thigh of our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah to God. That will work in you a stature. Hallelujah. That one day that he can, I can stand before the world and say, this is my bride. This is the one that's just like me. Hallelujah to God. I'm Messiah. Now, if God would quicken that to you, you'd have a Holy Ghost fit here this morning. But I'm way over some of your heads. You've heard what I said, but it didn't hit here. I mean, there is procreating power in the Father. How many of you believe that, huh? How many of you this morning, please God, if this would get quickened to you, you'd never be the same. I know what I'm saying. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Let me get this thing off of me. Now, you can just pick me up or lose me or do whatever you want to do. Oh, hallelujah. God said to wear it all the time. You say, well, Abraham, he was just a bad man. I don't know how God. Let me tell you something. I'm a mama, my son. Oh, hallelujah. God. Abraham was a man that had had his loins rejuvenated by supernatural vines of Almighty God. So that when Eliezer came and put his hand under his thigh, so he wasn't touching just an ordinary thigh. He was touching an anointed thigh. Hallelujah. It was an overnatural power of God. And brother, it created enough determination and enough faith and enough purpose and thing else that on a Sunday that Eliezer his servant needed, that he left us on a Sunday to have of his mother, and he went on a long journey on a Sunday, risking his life, and went back to the homeland on a Sunday, a beloved fetched the bride, a born Isaac, the son of his master, and power, there was even power in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, there was power in the Lord's favor, and when his servant touched him, brother, he got a touch of it. And he could go all the way over to the land of Mesopotamia and come back to God and bring a bride for Isaac. Brother, I'll say, glory to the Lord and Father. It's worth it now. It's worth it now. Praise God. It creates some side of it. You get a spirit, that's wonderful. A witness that you're here, the blessing from the work, that's wonderful. Brother, you need a touch from the Lord for the Father. Amen.
Hallelujah.
They'll do a work.
Amen.
How many of you, at least you see something, you never stop?
Amen.
No wonder God said, I have not seen, neither ear have entered the heart of man. There was a day when my eye didn't see this. My ear never heard it. I never heard what I'm preaching to you today from a man, no place on the face of the earth. Never entered into my heart. But one day the Holy Ghost put back the veil and revealed it to me. No more must I go so far in the center, and you're going to need it, amen. This third witness, praise God. If you're headed for perfection, then you're going to have to start working just like God once you got behind on the Spirit for a while, the Word for a while. Now you need the witness, the long witness, amen, for marriage relationship. I can tell you a lot of things, but that's all I'm going to say on that point. Brother, I'll tell you, this is one thing you don't get excited about until the Holy Ghost reveals it to you. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Let me add another point maybe before I leave. Verse 5. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring my son again unto the land from which thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Now listen to me. Praise God. Come on, I'll tell you this a little bit more. There's a million things can be told here. Beloved, when Moses missed with this one, when was it? The third witness here. Amen. You see that? Amen. It's the third witness he missed on. It was the loin witness that he missed on. And what the God said, you did not see the eyes of the people. He missed it, and I'll tell you why. Here's the picture of it right here, thanks to this Bible. You have never even thought of it. Your eyes have never seen, you've never heard, never entered into your heart that I know about. God only knows the tree is under the desert that I don't know about. Let me tell you a secret. God said Abraham said to his servant,
He said, the servant said, well, look, if I get over there and she won't come back with me, so what will I do? And then he didn't, he was a little doubtful and fearful about the working of this part of this section of the law. You see what I mean? That Eliezer got anointed. Yes, he did. He went over there and brought her back. And he said, just if she won't come back, what shall I do? You know, shall I then take your son over there? And what did Abraham say? You beware that you don't pick up my son and carry him back over to this defiled heathen land. You be careful and keep my son sanctified and set apart like you in the land of Canaan, or the region of place by God Almighty. I'm on my son, Muhammad. Blood is the third witness, the side witness is laying a hold of that power of the loins of God. Beloved, in your flesh and the world and the devil, beloved, with the things of God, but you suck him and set him apart. Let him be the boss, let him be the ruler, and you stand over here and walk softly. Moses did not do that. He tried to marry his will to this rod here, and he took the rod in his own hand, and instead of sticking to the rock like God told him, he spoke to the people, and you know the story. Instead of sanctifying this rock and letting it do the work, it was a work witness. All it had to do was let it stand there, brother, it do the work by itself. Amen. He underestimated the nature of God's mercy, and he underestimated the working power of the rod. He underestimated, he thought that the people would have to have some land back up for him. And then the little, you might say, devilish preaching from him, ye rebels, in order to prepare him. But beloved, God's mercy was sufficient to prepare him. And I showed you one principle, and I'll tell you another deeper one. For this rod was the working witness, the lawing witness. That all it had to do was to be stood before the people. And as they looked upon it, and as they smelled the fragrance of the breeze, and they beheld the fruit, beloved, and the prophet would start working in the name of the Lord. But he destroyed the work witness. Are you following me? Now we find the same principle here. Don't you take my son from here and try to bring him over here and join him over there. The joining is got to be over here in the land of Canaan. Don't you come up of Muhammad. Oh, Lord, help me. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. When God gives you the Lord with the Father, oh, hallelujah, then God, you better be careful what you do with it. And don't try to join it with flesh anymore, because if you do, you've had it. You'll miss Canaan's land. Do you even get a glimpse of one song?
Amen.
Amen.
This was the third witness here. It was the third witness.
Amen.
It was all right. Amen. When he obeyed the word of God and took God, he laid it there and it blossomed and budded, and it stood out there, beloved, as a word witness, beloved, to those princes, and they couldn't say a word. It shut them up because it was a word witness to them. Amen. Then God said, put it and set it aside your word. It was a spirit witness before God, a living spirit witness, so that God didn't be looked on that resurrected rod. I believe it was a picture and type of the resurrected rod of Jesus Christ. Amen. And God brought Moses to the first witness of using this rod, and then he failed. He did not lay hold of the law.
Oh,
praise God. Isn't he wonderful? Let me tell you something else, too. Glory to God. And God's brought you, and he's given you a witness here. He's given you a witness of the Spirit.
All right.
And then he's lifted you up and given you a witness of his working power in you, and has showed you, I'm a Mahanda, that the same can be done. Brother, you've done been lifted in the face of the Lord witness. You better be careful what you join this for and witness of. Don't you?
Don't you dare go back and join with the flesh, or you have
it. If you've never seen and tasted of his working power in your loins, and that you have, and you better watch, you have a witness of his working ability. You say, well, I can't seem to hold on to it. Well, that's your business. I don't know how to hold on to it. God gives it to you and shows you that it's there. You have to think of a check coming in front of you. Watch out. Praise God. I sure hate to let my rod go. That's what goes to the witness, and I got to do it. There's fire in this rod.
Amen.
God's telling on me. But I'll be glad to give up all right. Lord, forgive us for that selfish. Amen. But I can't wait to give it up. It's for your benefit, beloved.
I've got something greater than this inside. This rod is fine today. Not the two of us, but it's fine in the head round.
You said the same preacher, and my brother, you can bring down a revival on this brother David. One of you be Moses and one of you be Aaron. I done got it together now. And that's it. And whichever one's going to be Aaron and Moses, let that one preach that sermon. But you're going to be the other one preach that sermon. And when you come together, then the two of you preach the sermon. I believe something I never saw before. I thought I'd just driven in the last nail on both of those boys. How is it? I might even get the witness about wearing that thing ever again. I don't know. I mean, if you learn something. Hey,
this is the end of the message and the end of two.